This is Rita Murray, ladies and gentlemen, speaking to you from Hollywood, California, under the banner of Breakfast Club Coffee and saying, hello there, another day and another chance. Friends, what with the whole country talking about conservation, cutting down on the use of this and that, making things go further and all, it sort of occurred to me that it might not be a bad idea to cut down a bit of impatience. Cut down a bit on impatience, or the use of an ugly quick temper, which may be inclined to say, why should I do without these things? I am an American citizen and entitled to the use of things in this country. I know such attitudes aren't general, thank goodness, for most people have pitched in right up to the hilt. But they do exist in remote spots. So I thought if we could just check over our own selves a bit, instead of resenting the new way we must all go, if we are continue to enjoy our own way of life and make up our own minds to cooperate to the fullest, we will have formed an army that can and will stand up to anything. And friends, speaking of forming an army against a common enemy, of course that's what we're all speaking about these days. We do have a common enemy, every one of us. It also occurred to me that this is the best chance we have ever had to date, that I know of, I guess, or that anyone else knows of, to regiment ourselves. Whenever we feel a bit of belligerency coming on, and heaven knows we always are conscious of that when it starts coming, you know as well as I do that you can tell when you begin to feel a bit belligerent or a bit antagonistic or a bit itchy, if you like the word, a bit on the off side. Nobody has to tell you that. You know that before anybody else. But whenever we feel that way and are inclined to be a bit snappy or quick or are inclined to be a bit impatient because someone doesn't move fast enough to suit us or perhaps things aren't going our way or maybe we want our own way and can't have it, how often we want our own way and resent horribly the thought that we can't have it. And we do most anything and everything we can think of to create a condition that brings about our way of thinking, our way of doing things. And whenever we are thwarted, there's a word, whenever we are crossed a bit, we become awfully impatient. We become so impatient that we get a bit belligerent. And that's a bad thing. It's a bad thing for anybody, not only for the people who have to listen to us or who have to take our belligerency, but to ourselves as well, because the kickback, the backwash, if you want, is not pleasant. And we never enjoy the after-feeling that comes from with such a bit of indulgence. It isn't nice. It really isn't, and I think you all will agree with me on that. But whenever we do feel that way, right then and there is a pretty good place to stop and say, what's this all about anyway? How can I expect to present a strong front and conquer the enemy unless I can conquer myself? And whenever you have done that, friends, you have really accomplished much. You are truly making your influence for good go much further. And speaking of influence for good or bad, influence is something that we don't make any physical effort about. It's something that comes quite unconsciously. Real influence is, it's a subtle thing, and it can be for the good just as well as for the bad. You don't see influence, friends. You feel it, you experience it. You never see the wind. You feel it. You see the effectiveness of it in the blowing of branches on trees and leaves, but it's there nevertheless. You never see a perfume, you never see a melody, but the effectiveness is there, the melody is remembered, the perfume is remembered, so the influence stays on, even though unseen. And so it is with our influence. It can be for good or bad, but influence of the right kind will stay, friends, for a long, long time, and go much further than you ever dreamed of. And it's a pretty good thing, I believe, to see that these attitudes, these thoughts, these actions of ours are on the right side of the ledger, especially now, when it is so important to maintain an even keel, proper balance as we go along. Doesn't take much, you know, to sort of upset a thing. And if enough of us rock the boat, so to speak, we'll turn it over. But if we don't, our influence and our own thoughts will go much further than we ever dreamed on the right side. And speaking of making things go further, friends, Breakfast Club coffee is way out in front in that respect because of their now famous roast and chill process, which actually makes Breakfast Club last ever so much longer. And when I say last ever so much longer, I mean that Breakfast Club actually preserves and sustains the first roast of freshness until the last bit of coffee is used, even from a large 2-pound tin, so long as you complete Breakfast Club's roast and chill process by keeping Breakfast Club coffee in the refrigerator. It's as easy as that. And here's all you have to do. After making the first brew, replace the lid on the tin and keep the tin in the refrigerator or wherever you keep the other perishable foods. By so doing, you prevent the essential oils, which are the flavor and aroma of coffee, from growing stale, thus ensuring lasting freshness in your Breakfast Club coffee. And what does this mean? How does it make the coffee go any further? It simply means that when coffee is fresh, you don't use so much. Only when it grows stale do you keep adding more to maintain the strength you like. So, with Breakfast Club coffee, you never need add one bit more coffee as you go along in order to maintain that strength. For the original freshness, strength, and flavor are always present in Breakfast Club coffee so long as you do complete their own roast and chill process. Hence, Breakfast Club does last much longer and goes much further. So aside from its own natural goodness, it's a saving in dollars and cents not only to use Breakfast Club coffee, but to buy the large 2-pound tins as well. Breakfast Club's good coffee, friends, and I do want you to try it. There's quite a bit I'd like to talk about this morning, friends, although I don't have the completed information on it, so I'm going to save it. It's regarding the knitting, the furnishing of yarn to those who are unable to furnish it for themselves but have the time to knit the sweaters and the scarves or mufflers for the men in service. I don't have anything definite on it as yet. As I said, I've been unable to get anything definite. But as soon as I do, I can assure you that I will report whatever I find out about it to you, to those of you who are interested enough to do something about it. So if you'll just stand by, we'll see what can be done. And by that I mean we'll see how, or if it's possible, I don't say how, I say if it is possible to have the yarn furnished by those who feel unable to spare the time but can furnish the yarn, for those who have the time but cannot afford the yarn. And right there, I know a great many of you can afford to buy enough yarn for sweaters or mufflers. I know that. And I know that a great many of not only of you but all of us spend much time sitting around doing nothing with our hands. And even while we're chatting, it doesn't hurt to carry a little bag with a roll of yarn in it and some knitting needles. If you don't know how to knit, you can very easily learn. I know that's very simple because I even learned to knit, believe that or not. And it can be done very, very easily. And many spare moments spent idly chatting, which is all right, we should do that, could be spent knitting as well. I mean, it doesn't detract one bit from the conversation and accomplishes much in the way of providing a warm sweater for some lad who may be needing it quite badly. It doesn't take much of your time, but it will help to keep some of these boys warm on some very cold days and nights. And it isn't very much for us to do, so if you can possibly afford to buy it, I don't mean to deprive yourself of your food or your living, but if it's within the realm of your pocketbook and your budget, do buy enough yarn and go ahead and make a sweater or make a muffler. I'd like to hear how you're getting along on that, friends. I really would. And I do appreciate your letters expressing your willingness to cooperate in that respect. After our last week's broadcast, or after our last broadcast, I should say, and be assured that we will get these things coordinated sometime, sooner or later. It does take just a bit of time to do all we want, but we can't always rush things. I guess you know that, too. Friends, I had an experience that surprised me a little bit last week when I was driving over the ridge. I wasn't driving over the bridge. I take that back. I was sitting along the highway, parked in an automobile, watching traffic go by. I wasn't sitting there especially to watch the traffic go by, but I happened to be there anyway. And I noticed a car pass by with a sticker which said, "Welcome to Ride Servicemen," on the windshield. It was one of the stickers that we send out, we of this program. A red, white, and blue sticker. There were soldiers, there were lads in uniform, standing on the highway, looking for rides, not asking for one, mind you, but just standing there. And this car just sailed by as big as life, looked at the soldiers, looked at both of them, and then went on their way merrily. There was a very large rear seat empty. I could see that. There was plenty of room to pick those boys up. Now, of course, it's each individual's right to decide whether they want to pick up a serviceman or not. That is your own privilege. Of course, I do know that. But on the other hand, whenever you display a sticker or a sign or make any indication that you will help a man in uniform and then you fail to do it, I think that's sort of sailing under false colors. I think it quite definitely is. So, friends, unless you really and truly mean that you will pick up a man in uniform and give him a ride if he's going, not only if he's going your way, go out of your way a little bit if necessary. And take him wherever he's going. It's a very little bit that we as civilians can do to help these lads in uniform. They're out there defending us to the death if necessary. They don't make a great deal of money. They're not permitted to thumb a ride or hitchhike. But they're not prevented from accepting a ride if we give it to them. These stickers that we have which say, "Welcome to Ride Servicemen," have an additional line which say, "Remember Pearl Harbor." And I don't think any of us will ever forget Pearl Harbor. We don't want to, I know. And we put them on our windshield, and they mean that we will pick up a lad. That's his indication that we are ready and willing to do that. And if we really mean it, send for stickers. But if you don't mean it, if you're just going to put them on your windshield as pretty stickers, why, don't send for any, please, because you're only sailing under false colors. You're not helping anybody and surely letting yourself way, way down. These stickers come without any obligation to you. There's no cost, there's no red tape, there's no charge. All you do, now, if you'll listen carefully, is to send a self-addressed stamped envelope, to me, Rita Murray, Columbia Square, Hollywood, California, and the sticker will be sent to you. That's all in the world you have to do, friends. Just remember to enclose with your request a self-addressed stamped envelope to me, to Rita Murray, Columbia Square, Hollywood, and the stickers will come to you without any obligation other than that you, in your heart, mean that you want to do something for these lads who are doing so much for you, these men in uniform who represent our colors, which are quite definitely red, white, and blue. Of course comes now the place where I say that I'll be back again, same time, same day, and same stations. Until then, just this, friends. Because Breakfast Club coffee does stay fresh all the way through, even to the last in a large 2-pound tin, when you complete the roast and chill process, it means that the last cup of steaming hot Breakfast Club made from the last bit of coffee in a 2-pound tin will be just as delicious as the first cup you enjoyed from the same tin. Breakfast Club coffee is like that, friends, and I would like you to try it next time. This is Rita Murray speaking under the banner of Breakfast Club coffee and agreeing with Horace Mann, who said, "It is well to think well. It is divine to act well." God bless you all.